Hello, Potters, and welcome to episode 145 of Cospod, the podcast for all things cosplay and ruffles, as you guys will find out today. Wow, I have seen the light, and it is full of ruffles.
So many ruffles.
I'm blinded by the ruffles.
It's kind of insane at this point. I'm surprised I haven't gotten blind by it.
It's more that the camera focus just kind of really didn't work on the bright white, and it just kind of went,
it gets worse every time.
It did kind of have to flicker for a second, which actually made it worse.
That's hilarious. Oh my goodness. Okay, we're going to put this over to the side
now. Even the camera cannot handle the ruffles.
It is just too much rufflage going on.
At any rate, we hope that everybody who was out at Anime Expo had a fantastic time. That was this past weekend. Congratulations, I believe it's Ronin Cosplay.
I think
for
that's
winning
right.
Team USA. They will be representing us at the World Cosplay Summit in Japan in about a month. So good luck, ladies, on making all of those extra costumes.
Have fun.
And also, International Cosplay Day is coming up, I believe, the end of this month or next month. It's coming up very shortly. So hopefully people will be able to make plans for that. You know, get together some groups, have some cosplay fun. Doesn't necessarily have to be at a convention. It can just be, you know, meeting up for a picnic. But it's always fun to celebrate International Cosplay Day with your friends. And I believe that's been pretty much the big things that have been going down recently. I know that people are definitely prepping fast and frantically for Dragon Con, even though that has not quite hit the 2 month mark yet.
Yeah, it's pretty close.
Is it just past it?
Well, because it's Labor Day weekend.
So I think it's like ever so slightly past it.
Yeah.
Yes, I know many people who are definitely working their pants off to prep for it. And then, of course, PAX, I believe, is right around the same time as well.
Yeah, it's the same weekend.
PAX in the series. So many things to be prepping for. And, of course, there's Anime Fest and Infinicon! And of those, Infinicon is the most important one you guys should be worried about.
Sign up for our cosplay contest, please. Big promo here.
Yes, in terms of cosplay updates, we are very quickly approaching Infinicon, which is actually a touch over a month. I believe it's a week, a half week after that. So it's like 4.5 weeks.
Yeah, the date is actually August 12th for us for the cosplay contest.
Yes, that is our contest. You can use it as a dry run for Anime Fest so that you can fix up those costumes and we can give you tips on how to improve it so that you can compete even better at the Anime Fest contest. Of course, we are not judging. We have three separate judges, all of whom have agreed to help us out for our cosplay contest, which is on Saturday this year, not Friday. And they will also be doing pre-judging for us. So thank you very much to our judges. And of course, you can get all of that information on the Infinicon page for our contest. And that will also be going up this coming weekend on our website. And I know that they've all been making posts on their Facebooks as well.
I know, they've already beat us to it. And the first thing I said to them was like, you know, don't worry, just go ahead and post whenever you want to. And they already beat me to it. And I was like, oh,
yeah.
Cool, I'll get on that then.
And we also have trophies, which just came in today. We will actually show you guys those next episode so that you guys can see the awesomeness that is the wonderful trophies that we give our winners.
Best in show is like this tall.
Yes. They are always large and in charge trophies.
They're good for bludgeoning zombies.
Yes. So please do sign up early. Reserve your spot in our cosplay contest. It is always a good time. It is very relaxed. I don't want to say casual because we do have, you know, standards that we have to uphold. It's very chill.
That's more appropriate
word. And
we run
it very efficiently.
Yeah,
so you guys will be in and out so that you can enjoy the rest of your convention, have a nice dinner with your friends, and hopefully take home some prizes.
We have cash prizes this year. Guys, it's $100 for best in show. Like, come on.
$100, cosplayers can take that pretty far.
It buys your badge and then some.
Well, it can also buy, you know, a pair of wigs. It can buy all sorts of sewing notions. It can buy quite a bit of makeup.
Yeah.
$100 can go pretty far.
It's a lot of thread. Power
tools. I think that's the only thing it doesn't go very far on.
Yeah.
Or maybe fabric if you're getting really nice fabric.
But if you need a lot of thread or a lot of embroidery floss, that $100 will take you a long way.
Especially if you were to spend it over Labor Day weekend when everybody runs sales.
Exactly.
All of the 4th of July sales. All right. So in addition to Infinicon updates, I see golden things in the background.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll go ahead and start with my project. I'm going to swish over here. My dress. It is coming together. It's so lovely. I'm currently futzing with it. I made some tweaks to my original design, so it'll be a little bit more flattering on my body. The lovely one-piece suit look only really looks great when it's a one-piece suit. It doesn't really quite translate very well into dress format. So I changed the front. I made it a little bit more feminine, kind of fitted me better. The zipper, instead of going down the front, it's going to be hidden on the side. So I got that going on it. So the base of the dress is pretty much done. I'm kind of messing around. I don't know if I want to take the skirt up a little bit because it's longer than I had planned. It sits just below my knee, which is fine. I want it to be like just at my knee. So I'm going to mess with it, figure out what I want to do. I may end up putting another layer on the petticoat so the skirt's just a little bit more floofier because I need more ruffles in my life, apparently.
More floofier?
More floofier. Floofier is a word.
All right.
I mean, why not? It's floofy. It's floofy.
Typically not used with the word more in front of it.
I have entered a very evil realm with my gathering foot. Everything is more floofier.
All right.
So other than that, I just started putting on some of the patches, as you can see over there. I did not personally make these patches. I actually put the name of the person that I bought them from on my page because I just don't have time to make them. Plus, this is supposed to be fun, casual dress. I'm not going to be competing in this. This is just, you know, easygoing. So I'm keeping it easygoing. So yeah, so this is all coming together. I still also have to put the breast pouches on it. I'm kind of debating on if I want to do that because it just always looks wonky on a chick. But it's one of those things where it's like, I probably, since I've changed so much at the top already, I should probably at least do something to kind of harken back to the original jumpsuit. So I may do those. I don't know yet. I'm kind of debating. Luckily, I mean, I got a month and a week to still work on this because this is my Infinicon outfit. Yay! So I got time to mess with it. Not too concerned. But the other thing that I have been working on, I'm going to try really hard to not freak out my camera again. This is going to be terrible. I am so sorry.
You know, you gradually pull it into frame. It may help.
It may help. So I've been working on more ruffles. I got to redo that section and more ruffles.
So is everything rufflier?
Everything is ridiculously rufflier. All them ruffles.
Your poor camera does not like it.
No, I mean, well, I don't blame it. I really don't blame it at this point. This section is 16 yards of ruffles. Oh, God. So I'm in the process of making myself another petticoat for another costume that I hope to be wearing at Anime Fest because I'm a nerd and apparently ruffles are my life. Yay. But this one's supposed to be a much shorter petticoat, and it's supposed to be like cupcake style, almost like Madoka. So it's going to be like... So I'm doing something a little bit different. Instead of using ribbon, I chose to do some cotton for the ruffles on the bottom, and I just did rolled hem, so that way it was nice and clean. And I'm in the process of just kind of squishing all that together. All in all, it should be 30 yards of ruffles. There may be another layer on top of that, which is 16 times 2, so have fun with that math. That's going to be a ton of ruffles. I don't know if my brain can handle that right now. We'll see what happens. But that's project number 2. It's kind of sitting over here. It'll be part of our tutorial today that I get to talk about later. Aha!
You have a piece of thread stuck to the end of your mic, and it's really grabbing my attention.
Hang on, hang on. This is going to be entertaining. This is some quality podcasting. Quality podcast here, kids.
Grabbing my attention like a piece of thread. Piece of thread.
It's, you know what? This is something that chicks do for each other, though. We're the first ones to tell each other, hey, you got something in your teeth.
Your tag's inside out.
Yeah. It's like, oh, your shirt's inside out. Or, oh, you got a little bit of lipstick here. Like, we do that. We watch for each other. We got each other's backs.
Or mics.
Or mics in this case. Good call. Thanks, Amber.
Just means you've been working too much with thread.
Oh man, and so much white thread at that.
I know.
It's bad, but it'll be done and it'll soon be over. And then I get to work on all the pink and red fabric that's hiding behind the dress.
Right. So let's see if this works again.
I have faith in you that this will work.
All right. Should be sharing my screen now, yes?
You're sharing your screen, but it's currently on me. Haha. All right, there we go.
Basically, I've been doing layouts for the project I'm working on, which doesn't really have a name because it's kind of an original character, but not really. It's just more of, here's a costume. And so I've been working with Firefly Path's Elven Ranger costume, which for me is not going to be a ranger at all. It's actually going to be a paladin because it seems to fit better. And I wanted to do a color scheme of blue, silver, and white. And so, of course, you can see the core of the bolero jacket that I was working on, and you can see all the little elven embroidery that I will be doing painstakingly with puffy paint because I hate myself. This copy is actually before I attach the sleeves. It does have full length sleeves. Her pattern is asymmetric, but I'm making it symmetric because I cannot stand asymmetry in costumes. This is the bodice, which is actually kind of laid flat. And you see there, the two sides are not symmetric because I only fit it on one side. If you guys did not know, whenever you work on patterns, you actually don't have to make both sides of a pattern, unless, of course, you want to for fitting purposes. You only have to work one half if it's symmetric, because that way you can just flip it over and copy. Make sure you flip over the pattern before copying it, because otherwise bad things happen.
Bad things do happen.
And then there's you can see the bolero on top of the corset, so you can kind of get an idea of just how complicated this embroidery is going to be. Oh God. Eh. So yeah.
But it's going to look really pretty though.
I certainly hope so. I'm going to end up having to purchase silver. Oh, I forgot all my paint is up there now. Silver puffy paint from Tulip, because it's actually incredibly flexible. You can put the Tulip puffy paint that they have now, the metallics line, on fabric and bend it a full 180 degrees and it does not crack.
It's great. I love Tulip.
It's very flexible stuff. I only wish they had finer nozzles.
Yeah.
They still have very thick nozzles because it's meant to be seen very bright and bold on whatever you're putting it on. I need very fine control for the lines. They don't have embroidery tips like you can get, you know, finer needles for sewing machines, unfortunately. So that's basically what I've been working on. I don't have the terrifying templates to show you when I do my puffy paint embroidery work, because I actually have to draw the pattern out on a piece of usually tag board, cardstock or something, with a pen. So like a standard pen, ballpoint pen. And then I have to go over it with a Sharpie. Not to make it darker, but actually to give it thickness, because the line has to be thick enough for me to cut the line out, so that basically I can trace over where the puffy paint will be going. So basically once I have cut out the thicker line, and I've cut out all the lines, and I actually have to stabilize the pattern with a bunch of tape because a lot of the pieces are cut out and shouldn't be, but that's just what happens. And then I have to go and put it in the fabric and clamp it so it does not move, because then I trace the pattern with another ballpoint pen onto the fabric so that I have guidelines for where I'm putting my puffy paint. And you have to be very precise with the lines, and the lines have to be very thin because you have to cover them completely with the puffy paint so that you don't see them. And that's the really, really long process of doing puffy paint embroidery. It's going to take me for freaking ever, but if any of you guys have ever seen my Green Ranger outfit that was based on another Simplicity? I think it was a Simplicity pattern. It was from Once Upon a Time.
Mm, yeah, probably Simplicity then.
It was a duster outfit. You guys have probably seen the puffy paint embroidery work that I did all over that costume. So now I'm doing it all over again, except in silver instead of gold.
But it is much faster than actually doing hand embroidery. So, I mean,
oh God,
tit for tat.
Yes, and it's also a lot more consistent, because I have much more control over puffy paint than I do over hand embroidery, which I am just not good at. I'm sorry. I could embroider over the puffy paint, but it's like, no. I just want the puffy paint. And then I'm using up a bunch of spare gems that I have to kind of make it look royal. This will not be for TRF because I plan on going to TRF in November when it's cold in Texas. Cold. By which I mean like 50 degrees. Probably closer to 60 given recent temperatures in recent years.
I was about to say it's probably more like 60, yeah.
Yeah. So basically with a strapless corset, I'm going to be a little chilly. Even with, you know, a sleeved bolero, I'm still going to have large portions of my skin exposed. And that's not what I want to be wearing. So I am doing a Christmas version of Twilight Princess Zelda for TRF for actually going. Plus it's Celtic Christmas, so you kind of have to do something Christmassy. This is probably going to be one of the more generic things that I have for wearing to things like Alcon. I don't think I will have it finished by Infinicon, so probably not Infinicon. And oddly enough, her patterns do include armor, which this is just craft foam. It's 2 millimeter? Yeah, this is 2 millimeter white. And so I cut a bunch of the armor blanks out because the patterns now include armor patterns. And I'm going to make the armor her way. I don't normally do this. Normally I try and make it like armor. It's like, no, this is actually meant to be prop armor. So I'm actually going to make it prop armor. I'm not going to try and stiffen it. I'm not going to try and do anything fancy to it besides maybe add gems to it. But I'm going to leave it exactly the way it is in the pattern and try that for once.
Okay.
So that it's nice and flexible. I'm not adding styrene. The whole thing is going to stay foam. I will probably try some of Vulpin and Kamui's painting techniques to age it ever so slightly. Ever so slightly, because I'm not actually a fan of dirty armor. But I don't want it to look completely clean. So I will use this to practice that technique. And so now all I have left to do is to disassemble the dress that the fabric is coming from and iron it again, which is going to be hell because you never iron in Texas when it's 105 degrees outside already. You really don't want to be ironing, but you have to anyway.
You have to.
So you end up just doing it in the early morning when it's only 80 outside or in the late evening when it's only 90 outside.
It's like pick your
which
point.
Which is sad. Man. No, and I'm not exaggerating with those temperatures. At 10 no. p.m., It really is 90 degrees outside. And it's, when you wake up in the morning, it is 77 degrees.
It's Texas. This is normal.
This is what you deal with. So you just kind of have to suck it up and put on a tank top and shorts and just do what you got to do with the Iron Man. So those will be my next steps. I'm still going to have to make pants because I refuse to wear a skirt. And the pattern actually calls for a beyond floor length skirt. It was one of those that has a trail. And I'm going to be going out into the middle of nowhere with this, depending on which Renaissance festival I wear it to. I really don't want that dragging on the ground. So I will be wearing pants. And
pants.
The overskirt is fine because the overskirt is actually like ankle length. It's shorter. So I will continue working on that and see how it goes. This will be kind of the first time that I've ever done a straight up costume in a little while. And it will actually be the first time I've ever, what's the term, blinged it up?
Like, dazzled.
Seriously. Basically, I'm not doing sequins. I'm not doing rhinestones. I'm not doing anything sparkly. Just very basic flat backed gems that you would see in like a fantasy drawing with lots and lots and lots of Lord of the Rings embroidery all over it.
With a lot of puffy paint.
It is, and I actually found a picture. Where is it? I will send this to Val so that she can see it. Because I'm not gonna switch my screen for just this tiny little picture. But basically, window up. There we go. Ta-da! I don't want to make a staff because paladins don't carry staves.
No, they do not.
Paladins carry maces, typically. And I didn't really want a mace either. or a hammer, which is the other typical paladin instrument of death and doom. So I started looking up wands, because I was like, okay, well, paladins are kind of clerics in a way. They do cast cleric spells. So maybe I should be making a cleric's wand. And the particular picture I sent Val is a wizard staff. But I'm going to be making it into like a little foot and a half, like about this tall. So it's actually about the height of my screen. I'm going to be making it mace style, but I'm going to have a little resin ball at the end. Because you can get those in a lot of places, like the ball. And then I'm going to get a super bright LED from Spark Fun so that it lights up. It's going to be white. And that way I can use it as a flashlight. And I'm just going to wire it to a simple on-off switch. And that way I can just go cast my mystical spell, flick! And it lights up. That's it.
It's a multi-purpose wand.
One, but it'll look really cool on or off. So that will be my one accessory, because you know what? I made a change, Potters. I'm not making a giant prop weapon for this. No swords, no daggers, no staves, no pole arms, no bows. I decided to do it easy for the first time, because I was like, you know what? I don't want to have to carry anything. So the mace can actually just sit, because it's only a foot and a half. It'll strap to my waist. And the ball will be resin, so it won't shatter like glass if for some reason it falls. That's it. No other weapons, just that. So for the first time, and I'm having to bite my tongue, and it's like, nope, nope. But there's this elven dagger that looks, no. But I could make a collapsible pole. Nope. I keep having to tell myself this as I get all these other ideas of all these other things I could do to it, all these other props and fancy armor I could make, and I keep having to slap my hand. It's going, Amber, no, you're going to keep this simple for once in your life. Nothing fancy except for the gems that you're sticking on it. That's it. It's so hard. It really is hard.
But it's good to sometimes show restraint. It means that you are growing as a person and as a cosplayer, to realize that you don't have to bling the crap out of it. You can keep it simple and still be elegant and still enjoy it and have fun with it. You don't have to go crazy over the top.
Even then, for me, it wouldn't be over the top. It would just be something else that I would have to worry about and carry around and fix. Because originally, I wanted to keep, you know, a pair of daggers on the back in hip sheaths. Very small, like daggers that big. You know, for defense for my character. If ever I was attacked from close range and couldn't hammer them or whack them over the head with my mace. Like, no. No, because then that's just something else I have to worry about sitting behind me and bumping into on the sides. Could I do a sword? Sure, and then I'd never be able to draw it. What's the point? Bow, same problem. I have to unstring it if I go to Renaissance festivals, because that's how they do weapons nowadays. You actually have to unstring the bow and wrap the cord around the core of the bow to prove you can't fire it. It's like, well, then what's the point of having the bow? Can I do a staff? Sure, something that has to sit in my hands that I can't forget. Likewise with any sort of pole arm. They all kind of had their downsides, and I just kind of kept firmly in mind, like, I don't want to have to carry anything. And I can't put anything on my back, because that's where the pouches need to go, because God knows, the God of all cosplay knows that you have to have pockets on a costume. You have to have something to carry your stuff in. Whether it's your keys, whether it's your driver's license, whether it's money or badge or something. If you don't want to have to carry it in your hands or carry a separate bag, you have to have pouches or pockets. So I'm going to have to make like little butt pouches. That's how cosplay works, kids. You either carry it on you or you carry it with you in a little baggie or a backpack.
I make really cute drawstring bags that match my character.
And you can always do that, or you can always, you know, make yourself, now that they have amazing nerdy patterns with Simplicity and McCall now, you can actually make nerdy backpacks for cons. You can make nerdy messenger bags. You can strap it across your chest. They actually have patterns for all sorts of pouches because Renaissance. I mean, you can make all sorts of carrying type mechanisms on your costume, but the easiest is still by far pockets. Actual pockets.
Second easiest is bribing a friend to hold your stuff for you.
Having a handler, yes.
Nothing beats a handler.
Well, pockets kind of beat a handler because they're cheap.
I have pockets in my dress. I was kind enough to put pockets like in the dress. I was like, I have enough fabric. I can do this.
All right. Enough about pockets and handlers and which is better. We should get to the tutorial.
Yes, we has tutorial today. Guess what it's about? Yeah, it's about ruffles. Go fig. So while I was working on my second petticoat, I was looking around for some new tutorials to see if maybe there was something like I could do that could be different. Maybe there's a way that I could make it faster, make it a lot more cupcake-like, because that's essentially the silhouette that I'm going for. Upside down cupcake. That's basically what it is. But as I was looking through all these tutorials, I found that a lot of them didn't really cover things like, you know, the math, which is really, really important when it comes to petticoats. And even how to piece it together, because it was just like, hey, you stick part A onto part B, you have petticoat. And it's like, well, I didn't really describe all the steps. You just kind of squished it and magic. And it doesn't really work that way. So I decided to go ahead and make a tutorial about how to make a petticoat and make all this rufflage greatness happen. Welcome to the Grand Petticoat Tutorial. Val has been having fun with her gathering foot, and it's the perfect time to show you all how to make one of these floofy contraptions. The big takeaways from this will be how to do the math for making a petticoat and how to attach all the pieces. Materials that you'll need, your fabric for the petticoat. This can be crinoline, tulle, cotton, even satin can work. If you want light and airy, go with tulle. If you want structure, crinoline. If you want fancy, satin. You can also use tulle as a base and make your ruffles out of another fabric, which is what I will be showcasing in this tutorial. You will need some cotton, satin, silk, or some type of non-stretch fabric for the waistband, which the petticoat will attach to. You'll also need a rotary cutter, which is helpful but not required, does make cutting way faster. If you don't have one, standard fabric scissors are fine. A gathering foot, again, super helpful, not required, does save you loads of hours of having to hand gather the fabric. A measuring tape or a ruler, and you will definitely need a ton of thread. You may want to consider preloading 5 to 6 bobbins with your thread of choice. First, what type of petticoat are you making? There are two types, tiered and layered. Most petticoats you will find are tiered. They require less fabric, but they are not as poofy. Layered requires more fabric, thus more floof. Both have their pros and cons. It's a matter of which look you want more. This tutorial will cover the layered petticoat, but the math is the same and the sewing is very similar. Measure out how long you want your petticoat to be from your waist. Typically the length is 1 inch shorter than your skirt or dress, so the garment will hang properly. For this tutorial, let's say we want the petticoat to be 20 inches long. Start with the waistband. For an elastic waistband, measure the widest part of your body, probably your hips, and add 2 inches to it. That will be the length of your band. The width of the band should be about 4 inches long when you cut it. This gives you 1/2 inch on top for the elastic casing and 1/2 inch on the bottom for hemming. This leaves you with 3 inches left overall to act as your band. You can also make an A-line skirt instead of having a waistband if you want a full slip underneath your petty, which is what I'm doing here to prevent the crinoline from irritating my legs. But that's entirely up to you. Next, how many layers or tiers do you want it to be? 3 is the traditional method. 4 gives you more floof. So I went with 4. How wide is each layer or tier? If you do the layered petty, each layer would be about 18 inches long in this situation. This gives you 1 inch on the waistband to attach the layers, plus the 2 inches at the top of the band for 20 inches total. That's 18 plus 2. If you do the tiered option, you want to take your 20 inches, remove the 2 inches for the band, and then you have 18 inches left over. Divide that by 4. That will give you 4.5 inches. Each tier that you cut out will be 4.5 inches wide. How long is each tier or layer? For length, the rule of thumb is to always go double, starting with 2 yards. You can also double your hip length, but 2 yards is an easy number to work with and produces similar results. Remember, this is all gathered, so each tier or layer will trim down to your waistband length. So for 4 tiers, tier 1 is going to be 2 yards, tier 2 is going to be 4 yards, tier 3 will be 8 yards, and then tier 4 would be 16 yards. If you're doing a tiered petticoat, that means you need to cut out 30 yards of fabric at 4.5 inches wide. Then take those 30 yards and you want to cut it down to the 16, 8, 4, and 2 lengths. Hint, you can sew the pieces together to make a continuous cut of fabric. You shouldn't really need more than 5 yards of tulle for a 4-tiered petticoat at 20 inches in length. So don't go out and buy 30 yards of tulle, you're not going to use even a fraction of it. For a layered petticoat, you will want to make it tiered as well so the ruffles are focused at the bottom. The easiest way to do this is to slice your fabric in half. So instead of making 30 yards at 18 inches wide, it's now 30 yards at 9 inches wide. Each gathered strip, the 2, 4, 8, and 16 yards, will attach to 4 9-inch wide rectangles that equal the width of your waistband. 9-inch wide bottom plus the 9-inch wide top equals 18 inches total. Got it? So you've cut out all your fabric, now we go on to sewing. At your bottom tier or your bottom layer of ruffles, make sure to hem or serge the ends. You could also use ribbon or bias tape. In my case, I'm making all of my ruffles out of cotton. I hemmed every edge with a rolled hem. Next, we gather. If you have a gathering foot, set your tension and stitch length so that each tier/layer will gather the length in half. For 16 yards, it should cut down to 8 yards. With tiered petties, it's much easier to gather the longest strip of fabric first, attach it to the next tier up, ruffle that tier, then attach it to the next tier, ruffle that one, and so on. You can see how I'm doing that here. I'm placing the tulle right sides together and I'm running it under with a tight zigzag stitch. When I flip over the tulle, the seams will be on the inside. I'll do this again when I attach this tulle strip to the fabric that will connect to the waistband. This step is the same for every petticoat. The only difference is instead of connecting all the tiers together, a layered petticoat keeps the long yards of fabric separate. So, a quick summary of what I just explained. Gather each tier so the length drops to half. Attach it to the next tier up, right sides together with a zigzag stitch. Flip open and gather the next tier to half length, and repeat until all the tiers have been attached and gathered. With layering a short petticoat, you only need to gather once or twice with the bottom section. This method is faster, but again, more fabric is used. After you gather your first tier, attach it to the top 9-inch wide fabric, that's the width of your waistband. Do this 3 more times with each layer. Almost done! Now we attach each layer to the waistband. If you're making a tiered petticoat, you only need to sew the final piece on, and that's 2 inches below the top of the band. For layered petticoats, you want to start out 2 inches below the top of the band, zigzag stitch the shortest layer first, which is the 2 yards. Then you'll cover that with the 4-layer yard, and then the 8, and then the 16. The final petticoat is going to be so floofy, it will probably stand up on its own, like mine is. It's practically a Madoka petticoat.
Hope you guys enjoyed that. It's a little bit different than what we normally have here on the show.
But we haven't had a tutorial in a while, so it's like, hey, perfect opportunity. Let's bring this back into the mix.
Indeed. And we're always trying to give back to the community to where once we're aware of a technique or some new shiny thing you should know about, we share. Because there's no point in holding secrets in the community when it comes to technique. Heaven knows YouTube has spoiled us. So, I mean, you may as well share and, you know, raise everybody's boat at the same time. And yes, potato chips sound really good right about now.
Yeah, I know, right? All them ruffles, yo.
Ruffles are a brand of potato chip, if you did not know. I know some of our international listeners may not realize that.
Potato chips.
And on that note, we would like to again thank everybody for downloading and sharing the show. And thank you, of course, for the fan mail. We do have Infinicon coming up, so please feel free to sign up for the cosplay contest here. And of course, you can also find all of the rules and information that you will need to compete in the contest on the Infinicon page for the cosplay contest. There are two pages, bear in mind. It is not the costume contest. It's the cosplay contest. That's the one we're doing. So do keep that in mind. And of course, if you guys would like to send us fan mail of your own, or if you would like to send us any sort of comments, constructive critiques, suggestions, anything that you would like to see on the show, you can contact us at all of our social media here.
Here's me again with all the social media this time.
And of course, we appreciate any sort of communication that you guys send us. Otherwise, we will wish everybody happy cosplay, and we will see you guys next episode in episode 146. Happy cosplay, everybody.
Bye, everybody.